Hello there. I'm Brian Trunzo, Metaverse Lead at Polygon Studios, and you are listening to Port Zero, your port of entry to the Metaverse, where we introduce some of the most interesting and influential figures in the Metaverse, those who are building upon Polygon rails, if you will. And today I have with me Jacob Lowenstein. You know, actually, in the title here, Jacob, I typoed, I fat thumbed, I put Jacobo is your name right now.
I'll take it, man. I mean, I'll always go for that Italian vibe 10 times out of 10. So thank you for that.
So you're not Italian?
I'm not Italian. I am a very basic Long Island Jew. It is it's its own sort of elegant type of ethnicity.
A beautiful ethnicity at that, of course. So yeah, let's get into it then. Like, who are you? Where are you from? I guess I should have introduced that part first, right? Spatial.io. You guys call yourselves the Metaverse for Culture. So that'll be my launch pad for you. Take it away.
Yes. So hey, everyone. I'm Jacob Lowenstein. As just said, I'm the head of growth at Spatial. So I basically run our strategic partnerships, our community, and our marketing. Now the question is, what does Spatial do and what are we about? So you hear this word metaverse a lot. Hopefully you don't roll your eyes too hard, but we are the metaverse for culture. So we are basically the most beautiful way and the most accessible way for creative people to share their art and share their experiences with their fans and their community. And so in very, very real terms, in Spatial, you can create a really incredible looking 3D space and use it for anything from hosting your art. You know, you could turn it into a gallery or an exhibition. You could host a watch party for your film. You could even just build a clubhouse for your community that you want to hang out in every week. And all of this is completely free. And it happens either in your web browser, just on your computer, in an iOS or Android app that works on your phone or tablet. Or, you know, if you really love cannonballing into the metaverse, we're available on VR headsets, particularly the Oculus Quest 2. I guess it's called the Meta Quest 2 now. So, and that's Spatial.
So you said completely free, right? And in this metaversal space, particularly in the open, decentralized metaverse, you know, the concept of land sales, the concept of you know, rising floor prices on land is a thing, right? It's something that we talk about, but that's not a thing for you. Can you get into that a little bit?
Yeah, okay. This is like the most interesting topic to me because I both like have endless and deep respect for people that are really into metaverse land as like an asset class. And then there's another part of me that also thinks those people are crazy. And I'm going to try and talk to you from both sides of like what I think about this. So
big task.
Yeah, I know. So let me see if I can come off balanced in the end. So it is just happens to be the DNA of Spatial that And when I say that, it's like, you know, On Insulta's last company to Google, Jinha was a lead designer at Samsung. Like, we really, 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 really love the idea of like super mass market. We love the idea of trying to create something that a lot of people will use. And from just like a very practical perspective, like if you look at floor prices on like Decentraland or Sandbox right now, for example, like they're high. So a lot of people can't necessarily like afford to go and buy a plot of land on these platforms and then go create an experience. So purely from an accessibility standpoint, we're making a decision where we really are trying to make Spatial the kind of experience where like anyone who just one day it occurs to, hey, let me explore this thing, could get started creating without like any entry cost whatsoever. That's just like at a principal level, very, very important to us as a company. Now, I think there's like a separate sort of question. Like if I had to take my Spatial hat off and be like, what's the deal with metaverse land? Like I have some things that I like about it and some things that I don't like about it. I mean, in terms of what I like about it, I mean, I think as a business model, it's really, really interesting and probably is enabling some very forward-thinking companies to raise money earlier than they would have ordinarily been able to get their projects off the ground, right? So like what the Metaverse Land business model enables is a creative company to say like, hey, we're going to create this kind of world with these kinds of experiences. And before they, you know, have a dollar or an ETH, you know, to go and do it, they can essentially like sell plots of land. And now suddenly they'll have a pool of money to go and execute on that project. And so I think that like, from a, as a tool to enable the building of the foundation and like the growth of a company, I think it's actually a really, really great tool. And so I, you know, without it, like, I don't know if, you know, something as cool as Decentraland or Sandbox would have been able to take off. But there are parts about it I don't like as well. So for example, you know, in the inner, so first off, like, I've loved the idea, which I've grown accustomed to, you know, with regard to the internet, you know, sort of growing up with the internet, that like, to me, the internet is infinite. Like, that's how I conceive of it. Which is to say, like, there are theoretically an unlimited number of websites, and the internet is also immediate. So like, I can go from my mail to watching something to doing literally anything on the internet. And it just is an instant link click or like URL entry away, right? And so like the internet as it's designed today, like through the browser and through apps, like it sort of has done away with this idea of like proximity and access, which are like in some ways like downsides of the real world. Like in the real world, it's like, okay, I'll pay for this storefront or this apartment because it's like close to X, Y, and Z. But in the internet, like everyone can be close to everything. So part of me, A, like thinks that like Metaverse Land and that immediacy like aren't compatible, because it's like I've asked people like, why did you buy a plot of land? And they'll say like, this is not real, but like hypothetically they'd be like, oh well, I bought this because my plot is next to Snoop's or something, or you know, it's next to like the Adidas store or whatever it is. And my response to that is like, but so what? Like someone can go from the Adidas store to Snoop Dogg's house to anywhere immediately through a link click anyway, so like why does proximity matter? So that's one issue I have with it. And then I think the second issue I have right now is that the like plots of land don't have built-in utility. Like you buy it and it's literally just like first of all, some of the ones you're buying are on platforms that don't even exist yet. And other ones that you're buying on platforms that do exist yet, like people don't know what to do with it. Like they own it and it's like an empty lot. It's kind of like in Hey Arnold, that empty lot. And you're like, am I going to build a baseball field here? Like, I don't know. And not only do people not know what to do with it, they don't know how to do anything with it, because like most of these platforms, in order to build on a plot of land, requires like pretty deep building skills that like most people don't have. So, you know, it's like, it just feels like, therefore someone's buying a plot of land, they can't do anything on it now. It doesn't have any value in terms of proximity. So like, there's this just big speculation happening. Like people are buying it because I think they're just sort of feeling like, hey, like maybe this is really going to be worth something if like a lot of people jump on this platform and like this gets me attention. But it's so speculative and so nebulous that I just like worry that like people are buying a super speculative type of asset, and I think a lot of it might go to zero. So like there's the part of me that gets it and the part of me that's skeptical. I hope that was like a balanced take. I'm really not trying to
that was pretty Wag that was pretty measured
like yeah
that was pretty measured. And I do think that the most exciting part about this is that it's such early days and that real world principles will prevail, right? Like if the market wants land that is scarce, that, you know, has some ascribed value to it, then the market will move in that direction. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Or the market might support both. And, you know, we'll see. And that's one of the most exciting parts about being here on the ground floor. You know, you mentioned builders a couple of times, builders who are just getting started, builders who are speculating, builders who haven't gotten started and thinking about the future. Let's talk about builders on your platform. What are some of the coolest things you've seen people use Spatial for? Maybe unintended purposes, right? I think during the pandemic, a lot of us started doing things digitally that we had never thought that we would do. So I would just love to learn about that discovery for you.
For sure. Well, so I think this is just like a useful opportunity to say that like where we are now was not at all where we thought we would be, right? So when Spatial was founded in 2016, and then we launched like our alpha in 2018, we were a collaboration company. So we were focused on helping people work better together at a distance using headsets. And at that time, it was primarily like augmented reality headsets. So I put on, you know, Microsoft HoloLens, and I see a lifelike hologram of someone from other parts of the world or a bunch of people. And then we like, you know, put up sticky notes and whiteboard together and stuff like that. And that did well, but ultimately was very, you know, there was a really strong headwind in terms of lack of headset availability, or just like headset costs. So, or just the fact that frankly, most people don't love wearing headsets today, whether it's VR or AR. And so we really started leaning into web and mobile. And when that happened, a whole new audience really came to the platform. And that's what like transitioned us into being a metaverse for culture. So whereas the previous big use cases for Spatial would be things like, I don't know, like design meetings or like all hands meetings or things like that, today it's really different. So we kind of have like a couple of big categories of use cases. So there's a long tail of use cases right now that's like super, super cool, where people are just creating like galleries or homes that are essentially like an expression of who they are or what they're collecting. And it's not even necessarily always a social experience. Like sometimes they invite people in, but a lot of the time they're just putting their link up on Twitter, putting it in their bio, and people are clicking in and just checking out, you know, their collections. So, you know, with Spatial, everyone's creating art galleries, and, you know, whether that is, you know, any collector or even, you know, full on marketplaces are using Spatial to display their galleries as well. It starts to transition into a second use case, which is really, really cool, which tends to be community events. And so, for example, like we've had both OpenSea and Super Rare do these like rotating exhibitions in Spatial in these three, you know, virtual galleries that they've built from scratch, where they just show off like all sorts of new artists that they're trying to feature, right? So we had an event with OpenSea earlier this week that was celebrating Black excellence, that was curated by Swopes. She's super dope, that, you know, was featuring incredible Black artists and creators in that gallery. And that was just an amazing experience. We have a really, really, really dope Polygon community organized by Creative Owls that just brings in like incredible artists and collectors, and they're constantly showing off rotating work. And so that's a really, really cool use case because it's sort of not one-off. It's like people come back consistently to sort of have these like recurring events and recurring meetings, which is really, really cool. And so it's really almost like people building a clubhouse of sorts, or, you know, an exhibition of sorts that rotates, but people come back in all the time. And then we've had like this third category where people just have these like huge splashy events in Spatial, and they do it in Spatial because like it's just there's no way to have this experience any other way. And a lot of the people that come in are like new users. So for example, the founder of Opening Ceremony and McDonald's did this amazing Lunar New Year space in Spatial where they invited anyone to come in and basically like write their hopes for the new year up on a wall and have a social experience and like learn about the current Lunar New Year. That was beautiful. That was super cool. And really, really fun. We've had some ones that are like totally unexpected. So for example, the Indian Premier League for cricket, like discovered Spatial, and one of the teams made a room that was just like a clubhouse for fans of the team. The Utah Jazz actually did something similar, and they built like a virtual locker room, and they token gated it, so only people with this particular token could come in and like meet with players. That was super dope. And then another really cool thing happened yesterday. Like yesterday, our traffic spiked by like 40%, and we were like, "What is going on?" And it turned out that this like huge movie franchise in India, made by like one of the biggest studios in India, decided to do like a trailer premiere in Spatial, which was just like completely nuts. And so I'm going to totally butcher the name of the movie if I try and pronounce it, but you can check it out on our Twitter. But like literally like 80,000 people like clicked into the link to access this, like in the span of a day. It was super, super, super nuts. And also like weirdly coincidentally, like watch parties have been really popular this week. There's this, the documentary coming out about like the whole like GameStop versus Wall Street kind of phenomenon. And they did the premiere of the documentary in Spatial. And like literally like they created this custom 3D space and invited journalists and like people in the space. And people were like hanging out in virtual Lambos watching the movie in the metaverse on like a giant screen. So in sum, it's really anything from like if you're totally have no idea what you're doing, you could just auto-generate a gallery from like a template and like you could do that in 2 seconds. To like people building these like super custom 3D spaces and hosting all sorts of interesting events, because in the metaverse you're completely unfettered and enabled to create whatever you can in your you hold in your imagination. And so we've had really, really creative, you know, brands and creators doing stuff like that.
You know, there you just said you dropped so many knowledge darts. That's just so amazing. There's so many, yeah, there are so many threads that we could pull on there. One thing I want to point out is just the serendipity of the open permissionless decentralized nature of these things, right? Like people come onto these platforms and just make awesome things, right? And it unlocks the inner creator out of all of us, right? The way you're speaking, it's like bringing back memories for me of like my first web page that I designed on like GeoCities when I was a teen. You know, I thought I was the most creative guy in town. I wasn't. I was awful. But that's the level of serendipity and fun that I hear in your voice as you describe this.
Totally. It's so crazy you say that because, I mean, like, we try not to say this externally because people often like raise their eyebrow, but actually, when Anand describes like what Spatial is, a lot of the times Anand, our CEO internally, he always calls it like the GeoCities for the metaverse, because like I grew up, I had a GeoCities page as well. So did he. I mean, for some like younger people that are like total degens, they're like, what is that? Like, I mean, it was amazing. Like you literally had this like portal with these like fake different neighborhoods and people could create their own like websites and like, but there it like, the constraints sort of like birthed this really cool aesthetic that people are still like imitating today, right? Like there's something
people
about
are calling
like
back to it early today. People are more so referring to it today.
100%. It's like it's been really funny to see like early web aesthetic like come back cyclically. Like it was there and then it went away, and then like C-punk was a really big thing in like the early 2010s, and like it went away, but now it's like back again. And like, but that's what's happening in Spatial is like, people are like, oh, this is wild that I can finally like create something like this that's like accessible. Like back in GeoCities, people were like, how do I make a web page? And then all of a sudden, like, you know, an 8-year-old could make a web page, and it was, you know, it was that easy. And it really is encouraging like this insane serendipity is a beautiful word that you used. And so like, you know, it's a little bit of a challenge from our perspective, because like we try and keep the like the use case, the way we market use cases, limited. So like we can at least help people understand like a couple of things they can do in Spatial. But the reality is that like the long tail of use cases of Spatial is so diverse. I mean, we've had college courses taught in Spatial. Like who would have expected that to happen? We have had fashion brands create ateliers with virtual clothing to show off like collections in Spatial. Like that was not something we ever imagined Spatial was going to be used for. So yeah, I guess you could say that like we've kind of invented the like most beautiful and accessible 3D and social web page. Like that's kind of how easy we want Spatial to be, that like anyone can go in and basically like make their own 3D web page with the added benefit that like they can hang out there with other people.
Something super interesting about the space in which you operate for me, and I would love to get your perspective on this, because despite us talking fairly regularly, we've never discussed this, I don't think, is how identity is attached to everything that you do, right? And how, in a sense, this more immersive, let's call it multiplayer internet, right? This more immersive multiplayer internet almost, I don't want to say competes with the crypto wallet, but sort of enhances it, right? Because right now, NFT display is difficult, right? If I want to see your NFTs, I go perhaps to OpenSea if I know your ETH address, and I look up what's in your wallet. It's flat. It's not an engaging, immersive experience. But you're providing kind of an alternative almost accidentally. It's like, hey, come to my space, look at my NFTs. This is my identity. This is what resonates with me. This is how I identify. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? I want to just hear you jam on that a little bit.
I mean, first off, I think what you just said is like super smart. I almost want to just like shut up and listen to you jam on it because you're probably going to say something smarter than I will. But I mean, first off, I totally agree. I mean, so in the NFT world, I guess my observation is that when people are buying NFTs, I think they do it for one of three reasons, which is I think they do it as an investment. So they're seeking financial gains. That's sort of one extreme group. And then I think another group are seeking entertainment. Like for some people, it's kind of a big game. I mean, some NFTs are literally part of like play to earn games, but for some people, just like the whole like game of collecting and flipping is just like something that people really enjoy doing, it almost for entertainment purposes. And then I think there's like a third group for whom, you know, it's really about identity. And I think that's very similar to like why people buy art or why people buy clothing. And they're really trying to say something about themselves. And so like, sometimes NFTs can be really confusing because you have these three different sort of like subgroups, all within the same macro community, like all interacting, and it becomes very confusing. Like, who are you talking to and what their motivations are and why? I think, and we face that challenge too, where like some people create spatial galleries because they're like, yo, I'm just trying to sell a bunch of NFTs. And some people create them and they're like, this is my home in the metaverse. Like this is an expression of who I am. And I literally am like designing this from the ground up. So when people look at this, they understand something like deeper about me that they wouldn't have previously understood. And it's hilarious that like those two different kinds of people are both using the same tool and talking to each other. And so I think I like for us, I think identity is probably of all those reasons, identity is the one that we connect to the most. It's part of why we're so focused on accessibility, because like, I mean, I think there are certain platforms. I think in Web 2, we look at like Instagram and Pinterest a lot in a sort of positive way, because I think that like in certain contexts, what Instagram and Pinterest did, or even like Squarespace, was they enabled people to express their identities in a particularly easy way. And that wasn't true, you know, a couple of years prior to their invention, right? Like with Instagram, like what Instagram realized was, hey, the photos that people take can be a really powerful expression of who they are. Like not literally, not only just as a log of their life experiences, but like how they take the photo and how they curate their photos and how, you know, they apply After Effects to the photos. Everything, you know, everything basically becomes a tool, you know, a paintbrush, part of their easel in terms of how they express themselves. And then Instagram said like, okay, what if we can make that mobile and so easy, you only need like one thumb to basically like curate your whole photo gallery. And then that turned everyone, you know, in the world basically into like, you know, a photo publisher, which is a crazy thought. Like if you think about, you know, a couple of years before that, even with Facebook, like the most I was doing was like taking crappy pictures of like me and my friends and like putting out albums that no one was looking at except like a couple of people. And then suddenly Instagram changed the idea and was like, no, this is a whole new way of expressing yourself. And Pinterest was different. I think Pinterest in some ways was like more consumerist in a way. And Pinterest, but like Pinterest also was like, hey, like what you buy can say a lot about you, or like your taste in things says a lot about you. So like, what if you could just always like make a mood board and share like the things you're just broadly interested in, whether it's like you're going to get married or you're building a house or like, and so I think like NFTs are sort of like the next generation of that. And Spatial is just asking the same questions that those other platforms asked in Web 2, but just in, you know, this new context, which is like, I think now that like the NFTs that people collect is now once again like a new class of thing that says so much about people. And I think that like, and while, you know, on like ETH and sort of in the early days of NFTs, like there were a lot of hurdles for the average person to get in, like how do I set up a MetaMask and oh my God, this gas is so expensive. Like one of the cool things about Polygon and like what's happening now is like collecting NFTs is becoming insanely accessible, right? Like gas fees are low, like transactions are fast, like the UX is now becoming very, very simplified. So what's to stop like everyone on the planet from now just getting into the game of being able to buy lots of different things digitally that express them? So like there are already habits that exist where consumers do this. Clothing is one, right? And that's evolved a lot. Like it used to be this sort of very like cyclical thing. I buy in season, and then fast fashion blew that up and said, no, you're going to, Zara's going to have new things every day and you're going to buy stuff all the time. And then I think NFTs are like that on even more steroids. It's like, no, like every day you're going to buy a thing and maybe your avatar is going to wear it, or maybe it's going to be a new piece of art you're going to hang in your home, or, you know, like it's just giving you this whole new outlet to express yourself digitally. And I think it's like, it's profoundly interesting. I think what I haven't totally gotten my hands around yet are like what is the thread of who are the people right now that are jumping on this bandwagon? Cause like some people are really young. Like sometimes we see young people that do this because they're like, they grew up in a way where they're used to expressing themselves digitally and they've been customizing their avatars and games for a lot of their life. And they're like, oh yeah, this is a very natural extension of that habit. But sometimes it's not. Like we've had people in the middle of their lives, like that, like just like love collecting art, and they've always collected physical art and like love, you know, NFTs because it makes it so much easier to do on a day-to-day basis. And like now this is a whole new way for them to show off who they are. And it's unbelievably exciting because I think this is going to be like a cross-generational phenomenon. Whereas I think like, you know, like Instagram started young, and my sense is with NFTs, this feels very cross-generational for me right now in a way that I just think is really, really cool and really egalitarian. And it makes it very, very fun for us to work with our community because there's a lot of diversity there across generations. Sorry, verbal diarrhea. I hope that made sense.
No, that was not diarrhea at all. That was actually quite clean. You know, you're obviously someone who spends a lot of time thinking about this stuff. And if you don't, I think you're really great off the cuff and you have me fooled, right? Because you're very prolific in the way that you express yourself. So, you know, you've given this a lot of thought. So I'd imagine you've given the future quite a bit of thought as well, particularly in your role being a growth role, right? So if I was to ask you big picture, you know, 5, 10, 20, 50 years out, I mean, you pick the time, or you could talk about each of those intervals. It's up to you.
Yep.
Where is spatial? Where is the metaverse? Where are we going?
Okay. I mean, I will try and limit myself because I feel like this could be like, you know, either the most like 200,000 foot in the air answer, or like I'm going to end up talking for 30 hours. But I mean,
we'll schedule a part two.
Exactly. This is how I'm thirsty for the attention. This is how I get my second podcast. But let's start with 5 years out, and then I'll go a little further. So, I think the big thing that needs to happen over the next 5 years, I guess the big intersecting trends are the embracing broadly of digital identity. And I think the increasing financial incentivization of platform building. So I think those are like two trends that are really intersecting. And what I mean by that is like, one of the big things happening in Web3, and this goes back to what we were talking about with like metaverse land, but it's not just metaverse land, it's DAOs, it's utility tokens. It's like, I think the new cool thing that's going on is like in Web2, it was like, oh, if you sign up for my app, you know, and refer 5 people, I'll give you your first ride for free. And it was sort of these like, okay, whatever types of like referral deals. Web3, I think, takes that to like an insane level because it's like, oh, you could literally be a partial owner in some way, shape, or form of this entire project. And so I think that's really cool because it means that like part of why I think this is going to happen faster than people expect is because I think that there is a broader financial incentive for users to make this happen than there was in Web2. Like in Web2, it was like, okay, you have to like wait for network effects to happen, have enough people signed up for me to care about this thing. I think in Web3, it's like, no, I'm going to work for this to happen because I will make money if I push this thing forward and recommend this to my friends. And then, so I think that like, they're going to, I think like the metaverse over the next 5 years, they're just going to be like early adopters that I think are going to make some good money because they've like helped build it and contribute to it from like ground zero. And then I also think that like there's just going to be more and more comfort and time dedicated to crafting one's digital identity and expressing one's digital identity. And so, you know, I think like avatars are going to become a bigger and bigger thing for people. I see people like collecting more and more of like a fashion collection for their avatars. I think people are going to craft digital spaces for themselves. Now, and once you get to 5 years, like 5 years, I think probably coincides with maybe the initial inflection point of what we're going to see around like augmented reality. So my guess is probably around 5 years from now, you'll have solved enough of the problems that are currently holding like augmented reality back, which is things like can't fit enough battery power into it for it to still be like light, you know, optical challenges that make it not comfortable or there's not enough wide of a field of view. Like, I think you're going to see in the latter part of this decade, the transition from like mobile that's screen-based into more of like an augmented reality existence. And so that becomes super interesting because it starts to invite more of a crossover between your digital experience and your real world experience, right? Like over the next 5 years, if I buy, you know, a piece of clothing for my avatar, it's decidedly only wearable like on my avatar for the most part, unless I like put a filter on a photo of me like after the fact. But like if many people are starting to look at the world in an augmented fashion all day, suddenly it's like, well, my NFTs or my paintings or my home doesn't have to purely live in the virtual world. Actually, it can occupy like mindshare in the real world. Those two things start to merge. And so that's really, really interesting to me because I think that like if the next 5 years are like, how are more people going to spend more time in experiences that look like things like Roblox or, you know, Fortnite, I think like what's going to happen after that is this like crazy 10-year period where like our previous fetishization of the physical world is going to get called into question because we're going to be able to modify it so easily in a digital way. And so like, that's going to be a really cool and weird time because I think it's going to like lead to a certain sort of like economic explosion in terms of like, I think the way in which people collect NFTs, collect digital goods and trade them and sell them is going to, I think it's like a very, very rapid type of economy. And so I think that like you're going to see this whole new type of human behavior where like the way that people grow and evolve to express themselves is going to be faster than you've ever seen before. And it's going to be ever present. It's not just going to be limited to like the time they spend on their digital selves. It's going to be throughout their entire day. And I think that is going to be like really interesting and really, really profound. Going beyond that time horizon, I think things become like murky for me. I mean, it makes me start to feel like, you know, I'm either writing like an early 20th century, like science fiction novel, or I end up writing like, you know, like a Black Mirror episode. Like, I don't know, like, you know, like brain computer interfaces, like, you know, there's AI that does really crazy stuff that's more and more human-like, like all those things are going to like converge in a way that I probably am not able to fully grasp. So I think like I almost don't even want to go there because it's like, you know, who knows? But I think at least probably through the end of the decade, I have like a fairly reasonable idea of where things are going to go. And what I, you know, to tie it up, like, I think it means that like, I think the implications are really good. I think it's going to make computing like much more accessible for everybody. So I think like you're going to see people of all generations participating in this because the interface is naturally very accessible. I think it's going to make everyone more expressive and creative because there's like the whole way that we do it is just all the friction is going to be gone. So I think that's really, really exciting. And I do think that it's going to create like a new creator class of people, which is already happening. And I think that's where you're going to see like an insane amount of job growth of just like people creating whatever they want, because I see the evolution of tools making that like easier and easier. And so that seems like a pretty cool world to me. Like in 10 years, if there are like far few people doing what I do and a lot more people that are like creating digital goods or designing for a living, like, or creating music, like that seems ultimately like a win. I think, I feel like people will be happier and more fulfilled in life if they can you know, provide for themselves doing that than having to like sit at desks and work that sort of job. So that's my pie in the sky positive attitude for why I think NFTs in the metaverse are net going to be good for people over the next 5 to 10 years. Blah.
Well, you heard it here first. Spatial is here to give you a more fulfilled life and to make you happier. You know, with that, Jacob, we're coming up on time here. And I got to say, it was pretty quick. I feel like we could have gone for hours, and we're probably going to have to do this again. I just want to thank you.
Dude, thank you so much. I just got to say for like your audience, just so that they know in case they don't know, like you're amazing and I love you and you're my fashion idol. And I think you're working on an incredible, just like an incredible project with Polygon. And I mean, I know like there's so much that's going to be announced this year, but like just this projects you're working on are mind blowing with like insanely cool metaverse projects and creative people. So I just want to wish you like all the best, like congrats on basically the dream job. Like I think what you're going to get to work on this year is amazing. And I consider myself like lucky and privileged that we managed to cross paths while doing it.
Well, that means a lot to me because I hold you in equally high esteem. So Jacob, thank you. With that, everyone, thank you for tuning in. You can catch a new episode of Port Zero every other Friday. You can also catch the Polygon Studios crew delivering a weekly video briefing on the Polygon Studios YouTube every Wednesday. So be sure to follow Polygon Studios at Polygon Studios on Twitter and join our Discord and join our community. So thank you very much.
Mwah. Thank you so much.